In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's Coolest Conversations podcast time, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening. Please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. My guest this time around is Keith String, guitarist and founding member of the Fleshtones, who have been rocking since 1976. And unlike nearly any of their peers from that era, they've never gone on hiatus or had an inactive year. For 44 years, they've been traveling the world, playing shows, recording, and releasing music. Their latest is Face of the Screaming Werewolf, out now on Yep Rock Records, and the title track is a recent Coolest Song in the World. Let's hear some of that now, and then I'll be joined by Keith String for our Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
I tried my girl, a lonely spot, all alone, but this girl is kind of moody. I want love, my blood's hotter when I try to. She hides her face inside a hoodie. The light was low, the time was right. I saw the full moon glowing in the night. If I'm gonna make my move, then this is it. But when she turned to me to kiss her lips, it was a face of a screaming werewolf.
Dear listener and satellite radio land, it is no secret that one of my all-time favorite rock and roll bands is the Fleshtones. And so it's an extra thrill and honor today to be able to speak to one of those venerable purveyors of super rock, in this case, founding member and guitarist Keith String. How are you, Keith?
I am good, Manfred. How are you doing? We haven't talked to each other in too long.
Oh, I know. And this whole pandemic thing is not helping us. Earlier this year, back in May, I spoke with your drummer, Bill Millhiser, and he told me that he'd been weathering the COVID storm upstate New York and Troy. How about yourself?
Well, I've been actually here in Stockholm, Sweden. That's where I am right now making this call to you. I live here now.
Wow. When did that happen?
Oh, a few years ago. I mean, basically, I meet the guys, we go on tour, and when I go home to Stockholm, Sweden for the past few years. So I've been here when the pandemic broke, which I guess it started last March or whatever. I've been here through the whole thing. And I've been in the European Union also. I have traveled to a few other countries in the past few months.
Wow. So that's not expecting you to reveal that you're in Sweden. And, you know, I've been asking people typically how they're dealing with the pandemic and how friends and family have been. But if you've been in Sweden, unlike those other Scandinavian countries, they had these big lockdowns. And then over here in the media, it was talked about how Sweden had gone this very different route. So how do you think Sweden has been doing in the midst of all this?
Well, I think Sweden is doing great, actually. And what they prescribed for themselves was exactly what this country needed right now during the pandemic. And it's been working well, and it continues to work well. And I'm just very lucky and glad to be here.
And your friends and family back in the States, how are folks here stateside faring for you?
Well, everybody's bearing with it and can't wait for it to be over. I guess, you know, we need a vaccine to be developed and to get that out there and into the world. But everybody's enduring that I know in the States, especially New York City area. That's where my daughter lives. And and I'm in touch with her all the time. And things are getting better slowly but surely, but still there's ups and downs, as we all know, and just waiting for the vaccine in order for the world to right itself again.
So the pandemic, you know, that really screws up the typical Halloween festivities. You're over there in Sweden. Do they celebrate Halloween at all?
They do, but it's actually just borrowed from America, and it's something that's only became kind of like fashionable here, you could say, and probably like only the past 15 years. And, you know, it's really for kids, and they love it and dig it. Over here, you know, Halloween will probably be fairly normal, quite a lot of costumes and festivities and kids having fun.
What about you as a child? Did you have like a favorite costume growing up?
Well, I usually would have a new costume every Halloween. Halloween for me was going out trick-or-treating, getting a shopping bag filled with candy to the brim, going out again and getting another shopping bag filled to the brim with candies and goodies. And it was just great memories and something I wish I could do again. Maybe I'll have to go out here in Stockholm. I don't know what people will think if they see me or if I start knocking on people's doors. I don't know. I mean, maybe it depends on the costume I wear. Maybe if it's good, they'll give me a lot of candy.
You know, one of the things that used to really drive my dad crazy would be when it would be Halloween night and the teenagers would come by and they obviously weren't dressed up in anything, but they would just stand there holding like a pillowcase, you know, waiting for candy. And
right.
I thought, you better give them some candy, Dad. Otherwise, you're going to make me clean the toilet paper out of the trees, you know. So
that would be the wicked trick.
Yes, yes. And in fact, some of those teenagers later in the neighborhood, when I was a little bit older, not just a real little kid, and I was told that, we would have toilet papered your yard a whole lot more, but we knew your old man would make you clean it off. So we felt sorry for you. So at least I got around that some way. You mentioned it being kind of a kid's holiday there in Stockholm. What's interesting to me is that, like, for my parents' generation, that it was just a kid's thing. But over here in the States, at least, you know, the last 20 years, 30 years, it's been, there's also a very much more of an adult component to it. So when you're in your world over there in the sort of the rock and roll world, do people dress up or is it just really just a kid's thing?
It's mostly just for kids. I mean, of course, there's Halloween themes at rock and roll clubs and bands will play Halloween-oriented type of songs, you know, but it's not on the same level as it is in the United States. There's no, like, Halloween parade in New York City here, you know, or something, some massive gathering event that is really fun and spooky. You know, it doesn't exist here. So it's really just some, you know, an American tradition that has been latched onto, and it's for kids really here and for families to maybe get together. But that's about it. But it's fun. People really dig it, you know. But this year, I guess there'll be no rock and roll shows, not even here in Stockholm, you know. There's still limited capacity. There are shows. I've even played a few, actually, in the past few months.
Well, the very fact that they're at a point where there is some kind of capacity and people playing live and being indoors, I think that's certainly a great step forward. And good luck with that continuing on that trajectory. Well, so the new album is Face of the Screaming Werewolf. It's from Yep Rock Records, and it was available briefly on Record Store Day back in June, but it's got its official release a week ago from today, last Friday. And I want us to talk about the album in general in a moment, but the title track is this week's coolest song in the world, so let's start off with that. Back in 1964, the movie Face of the Screaming Werewolf was released, and it was these two Mexican horror movies combined into one. It starred Lon Chaney Jr. Is it the inspiration for the song?
Oh, definitely. I mean, what a catchy title, right? I mean, doesn't that get your attention, Manfred? So we figured, like, oh, what a great, I mean, on top of it being a fabulous movie that everybody should see at least once in their lives, we figured, like, what, this gets your attention. You know, I bet you this would be great as a song title and possibly even the title of a new Fleshtones album. Who could imagine all this occurring here now, the year 2020, during these COVID times, in fact.
Yes, scary times calling for a scary song indeed.
I mean, so, the title was just calling out to the flesh tones, please, please, and we did not ignore it.
You wrote that song with Peter Zaremba?
Yes, we did. We wrote a bunch of songs together on this record in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, when I was home in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, around my kitchen table during winter, because I have steam pipes that rattle very loudly when it gets cold in New York City, which in January it does. And we were writing song after song, and one of them was Face of the Screaming Werewolf. I had this riff, this wonderful piece of music. I said, Peter, what do you think of this? I played it for him. He says, that's not bad. I have an idea. Why don't we combine it with this? Then he tells me the title. And I said, are you kidding? Are you sure? Won't that frighten people? And he said, no. This has got my attention fully. I want to share that with the world. And I said, you're right, Zaremba.
You know,
so there you have it. Now it's the coolest song, you know?
Absolutely. Years ago, you guys did the title song to the movie, I Was a Teenage Zombie. And there,
that's right. There's a tradition here, obviously. Did you ever wonder why he calls himself Count the Psychedelic Count, Manfred?
Why is that?
Did you see that coming? Why? Because, well, first of all, he loves capes. He always loved capes. Even before he wore a cape, he loved capes. Matter of fact, we used to go cape shopping together in Madrid, Spain. You know why? They have great shops in Madrid, Spain for buying capes at affordable prices. Even well, though I know Peter got it from friends.
But here's a serious question about that very thing. So if a hat shop is a haberdashery, what does one call a cape shop?
Well, as far as I know, I don't know how to say it in Spanish, but I just say a cape shop. And not to be confused with a cake shop. I mean, that's a dreadful mistake on anywhere you go.
It is. Well, about a zombie, what I like about that is that it's the protagonist.
It's a fabulous movie, for starters. Have you seen the movie?
No, I've only seen the video. And I've
still, you got to see the movie. That's what you should do this Halloween when you're home. You got to rent it. You got to see it. Get some popcorn. Sit down with some friends. Watch I Was a Teenage Zombie. And then after that, you could start playing Face of the Screaming Werewolf full volume for your neighborhood to hear.
That's true. And actually, I can turn up my volume quite loud because my neighbors are elderly.
It'll be a truly memorable neighborhood. The cops will come over. You'll get to know the police finally by them coming over to tell you to shut down the volume of Face of the Screaming Werewolf. It'll be an entertaining evening.
My part of L.A. is like a libertarian paradise. Generally, the police don't even bother with me. Yeah. So, Face of the Screaming Werewolf, Universal classic monster, along with Frankenstein's monster and Dracula the Mummy and the Creature from the Black Lagoon, Invisible Man. What is your favorite out of those monsters?
Oh, God almighty. I don't know. Should I answer this seriously? I guess Dracula. Actually, the original Dracula. Oh, what was it called?
You mean the Nosferatu thing, or you mean the Bela?
Yes, thank you. The original Nosferatu. Okay.
Yeah.
Truly chilling, frightening, unsettling, everything like that. That's probably my favorite piece of horror film. But there's so many, you know, but Nosferatu, Dracula. Actually, Bela Lugosi, one of my favorite actors of all time, just for many reasons, just for the way he looks.
Did you have any of those monster models as a kid?
I did. I'm trying to remember which one. Ah, I know, the Mummy, but it was not the Aztec Mummy.
Right, it was the...
I remember having that. I might have had Frankenstein as well. I think it's the model company that put it out. It wasn't A&T. That was for car models, I believe.
Right, Aurora.
Aurora?
Yeah.
Oh, you know this. You've built these same models, Manfred.
I did, although I...
Did you use tester's glue?
Yes,
you remember the glue testers? And I don't mean sniffing.
Right.
I mean for like, you know, building models and something constructive and on top of trying to be creative.
Yes, that is right. That's what I would use. And it never is when I was building those models, it never occurred to me that you might sniff the glue to get high. That was so, I just thought.
That never occurred to me. That just happened and I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was getting sick. I didn't know I was getting high. Go figure that. Took me too many years to figure that out. Anyway, it's probably something I should have never figured out, but that's another story.
So let's talk some more specifically about the album. You recorded it at Mike Giblin's place outside of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Why did you go there to do that?
Well, we love Mike, and Mike records beautiful music. And it's actually in Mechanicsburg, which is right next to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's also a good idea, I think, for the band sometimes to leave its home, like the Ramones left home, if you remember that record.
Yeah.
Fleshtones leave home. We go to Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, and we just camp out there for whatever it was, 10 days, living at Mike's house. And just that's what we were there to do. We were just living together, like the Monkees. Remember that TV show, The Monkees, where they all lived together?
Yeah.
Anyway, we were like that. And we're living with Mike and Ruth and the cats and the dogs. When one big family recording rock and roll should actually make a TV show about that. And Zaremba was cooking at night. He's a great cook, as you know, on top of like being a great DJ, as you know. And we love Mike. He's on board with what we're about, our history, what we like. We like the same stuff. That's usually good for making a good record. And it was just good to get everybody under one roof to make a record, especially with Mike, who really gets great sounds. I mean, we think the drum sounds on this album are the best ever. They're the most natural. They really, I mean, tom-toms sound like tom-toms for once.
Yeah.
You know, it only took around 45 years, but I think Mike finally got that for us. Maybe if we stick around for another 20 years, who knows what we're capable of. But anyway, it was just fun. Also, fun is a big factor in making a great record. So that's why we went to Mechanicsburg.
Well, Bill told us that Mike is a very hands-on producer. Did you find that to be the case?
Well, he was hands-on when it came to opening the bottles of wine, if that's what you mean. Which actually keeps the band very happy, may I say, along with Zaremba's fabulous cooking. The right combination of wine, cooking, and Mike behind the board, you can't lose. That's why we got Face of the Screaming Werewolf.
So why did you guys decide to cover the Rolling Stones song Child of the Moon?
Why not? And also it was the B-side of Jumping Jack Flash, a gem everybody loves and knows this song, and it was about time the Fleshtones took a shot at it. It was actually Peter's idea and want. Boys, he said, we got to do this one. This is the one for us. This is the one that was meant to be. This we got to record right now, right here in Mechanicsburg. And we did. And we like what we came up with. What do you think? Have you played it?
Yeah. In fact, I have played it. You know, there are a lot of Jagger Richards compositions to choose from, of course. That could be overwhelming. But the Fleshtones, they put the spotlight on the one that needed to be done. And as you've said, Peter and yourself.
Did you ever see the movie that was made to go with that? The movie that was made to go with Child of the Moon?
Well, there is. I mean, I've watched a clip that's on YouTube, so I don't know if that.
Yeah.
That's the same thing, but yes, I have seen that. Yeah.
Probably. It's like around the length of the song. It's the song, yeah. And it's black and white, and it's beautifully shot and wonderful imagery and a haunting tale and just a fabulous mini little epic to watch within a 3-minute framework. It's beautiful. Anyway, another reason to love the song, you know, and they were so lyrically poetic at that point. I mean, they were actually trying to write something beautiful instead of just, I mean, the Rolling Stones to me are gods, you know, I love them forever. But anyway, Child of the Moon is very special, and it was a big challenge for us to do it.
There are also two instrumentals on the album, Swingin' Planet X and Somerset Morning. The latter is a bit of a little Walter vibe to it even. They're both accredited to Peter, and we know he plays keyboards and harmonica, but generally he's thought of as being the lead singer. Have we been selling him short as a musician?
Oh, Peter is an incredible harmonica player, and he's the best one-handed keyboard player I know on the planet. Nobody can match him when it comes to one-hand keyboard. But harmonica, forget it. He was into Sonny Boy and Howlin' Wolf, you know, probably, I don't know, 6 decades ago. Maybe when those people were still alive, he was into them. Anyway, Peter is a great musician, and he's got great ideas. And he has ideas that are not, he thinks, let's put it this way, he thinks outside the box. You got to have that. If you think within the box, you're trapped in the box. Nobody cares about what's in the box. You got to be outside the box. That's what Peter does. He comes into the session. He hits us with all these great visions and ideas, and we try to make them come alive and become songs. So anyway, those two instrumentals are just like just tidbits from him of what's possible. And they're great. I love them both. And I can't wait to start playing them in my show. We just need to have shows again.
I know. Well, you know, one of the other songs on there I enjoy a whole lot, one of the more rocking ones, a favorite of mine, is Violent Crumble, Cherry Rye.
That's actually my favorite track on the record, I think. But then again, every week I wonder what is my favorite new track on the new album. I've been wondering this for months already. Matter of fact, it's been too long because the record has to be released. Yeah, I love that track.
Wasn't familiar with either of those things and looked it up. And those are candies from in Australia. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. The Violet Crumble and the Cherry Ripe. You can talk to Dave Faulkner of the Hoodoo Gurus. It's among his favorite treasures that he
confectionery.
He loves this candy. That's where we discovered it when we were down under, baby. One of the treasures we discovered down under was Cherry Ripe and Violet Crumble.
So what is your favorite, Violet Crumble or Cherry Ripe?
Oh, that's an unfair question. You're going to have to give me at least 20 hours. I'll call you back. Or better yet, I'll make another cooler song and we'll talk about it then.
All right, fair enough. So, Fleshtones, kind of George Harrison, is Ken Fox. He contributes a song or two generally to each record. And his contribution on this one, on Face Screaming Werewolf, is called Waiting on a Girl. How do you feel that Ken has grown as a songwriter?
Well, he hasn't grown. He's always just been a good songwriter. How do you grow out? Well, I guess he can become better. But anyway, he's always, what I'm trying to say here is he's always been really good. He didn't have to grow into anything. He started out right out the gate great, you know. I guess he can just become extra great. So if you want to say he's grown, he's become extra great. But anyway, he always contributes really great songs every record. I don't even know how long it's been. I don't even remember how long the band together is anymore.
It's 40.
Actually, he should have had more songs on the new album. That's why we have to make a new one. We're already planning on that. That's another story.
All right. You said how many years? It's 44. I think this year is your 44th year.
Boy, you've done your homework on us, Manfred.
That's my job.
Thanks for the update.
That's my job.
I can go to sleep easier tonight knowing 44 years have passed.
Well, so this is just another reason we have to hurry up with this whole pandemic thing, because I'm ready for the 45th year anniversary next year. And we might all have to fly to Stockholm to see you guys play there.
I don't know. Maybe we'll do a tour. Maybe you should play on the tour.
So author Joe Bonomo, he's responsible for your biography, Sweat, The Story of the Fleshtones, America's Garage Band. So I watched that interview. I found an interview where he's talking to you guys. And you're talking about
the new record.
Right. And so in that interview, you talked about how the song Manpower is your favorite. So as you said,
saying, it depends.
Exactly.
There's 12. How many songs are on the record? 11 to 12. 11,
that's
right?
11.
Right. You have 11 incredible tracks. How can you just pick one? That's why you need I don't know what you need. You need more weeks, a new favorite every week. So, at that point, it was Manpower. You know why? Because I was almost in Spain. When I was doing that interview, mm-hmm. I was in Perpignan, Spain. I was hanging out with this group called the Limianas, mm-hmm. and that's where I did the interview from. So at that particular moment, Manpower, baby, because I'm on my way to Spain.
Wow, you were a man of mystery, a man of intrigue, a world traveler. Who knows what country?
Yeah, a few months ago, I went to tell you the truth, this is what I've been doing the past time during the COVID-19 era or whatever you want to call this. I've been just like going into as many recording studios as I can, because right now I cannot get on any stage because there is no stage. And the Fleshtones can't tour. So I've been just, I think I've made about 5 albums this year alone.
Who was it that you were recording with in Spain?
Yeah, I did some tracking with this group. Actually, they're French. That's before I went into Spain. They're French, Perpignan. It's a group called the Limianas, really cool, really great, very popular in France and Europe. People love them. They're great. You should check them out if you don't know who they are. Look, I love them. I was there when we were doing that interview with Joe. Anyway, what I've been doing just to, like, you know, keep busy is just record. You know, what better thing to do if you can't perform live? You get into a studio, and also writing songs, recording them. That's my favorite thing. That's all I ever want to do, you know? So I had a lot more time to do that.
Well, we mentioned Michael Giblin and you guys recording at his studio, but you play with him in the Split Squad. Are there any upcoming releases headed our way?
All right. Actually, the way this pandemic kicked off, I was with Mike. I was in Mechanicsburg recording the new Split Squad album. This was like right as the bomb dropped, you could say.
Yeah.
And I can also tell you, when Clem came in, our drummer, he was the first one who introduced me to the rubbing of elbows to say hello. This was the first time I experienced this new form of communication. Forget saying hello, forget about hugs and kisses. That's a thing of the past. But rubbing elbows, Clem introduced me to it. So that's, you know, it was the first time I was there making the new Split Squad album. We even have a track in the can called Cool Quarantine. You see, we're already ahead of the game. You know, I mean, we realized that this was a quarantine and we're a recording session. So there you go. And it was cool. So, yeah, Split Squad have a new album in the can. Mike is working on it. It's going to come out, I don't know exactly when, but 2021. Who knows? Maybe a coolest song is in my future.
I hope so. I hope so. Well, you know, we're going to close out our Coolest Conversations today with another Fleshtones track, another song off
really
the new album. Yes, that's what we do. That's what we do.
Well, I hope it's a great one. They all are.
Well, I want us to play the cut Alex Trebek. And so tell me about the song. Why did you write a song about Alex Trebek?
Well, quite simply, it's my daughter's favorite TV show. I came in from some tour with the Fleshtones, and I'm home, and she says, "Hey, Dad, I have this new TV show I love. It's my favorite TV show." I said, "Really, honey? What is it called?" She goes, "It's called Jeopardy." I go, "Jeopardy? You mean with Alex Trebek? I mean, this is something I haven't looked at in decades, right?"
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking, like, you know, that is a great show, right? We put it on, and I'm, like, watching it for the first time in, like, 20 years. I'm actually realizing that I'm digging this. And on top of that, it's educational. And Alex Trebek is dedicated and loves what he's doing. And what he's doing is actually good for people to watch and families and kids and whatever. How can you miss? So I figured, like, you know, there's a song here because he's an American institution that should be better known than he even is, even though he's pretty well known. But anyway, so that's how Alex Trebek came about. It was my daughter just saying, like, "Hey, this is my new favorite TV show. Can you dig it?" You know? So Alex Trebek is waiting for you, you know?
You know, what's funny about that, and I've had a similar thing from my own daughter, is that they discover something and they're like, "Hey, look what I found. This is a really cool thing." And I've learned that my perspective should be, "Yeah, wow, you know, thank you for showing this," and not like, "Oh yeah, I know that." It's like, no, you know, the part of the joy there is her sharing the excitement of it, you know. It's like, "Oh yeah, wow, this is really great," you know.
Well, quite honestly, it became when I was living in New York City, we were watching it every night. You know, I'd be preparing dinner. We have a little apartment in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. I'd be preparing dinner. The TV would be on. We'd be screaming out the answers or trying to answer, watching it. It was just part of our routine, you know. And we love Alex. We love Alex, you know. I hope he's doing okay. I don't know what the latest is on him. But anyway, Alex Trebek, you know. Great guy. Cool song, I hope.
It's great, or I think it's great, or we would not be about to play it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, thank you, Manfred. And thank everybody.
I have to thank you for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Thank you for having me again with you, Manfred, baby, on your Coolest Conversation.
Now we reveal our answer, the name of the next Fleshtones song that we need to hear off the new album, Face of the Screaming Werewolf.
Okay, I think, who is Alex Trebek?
That's right, Keith. Who is Alex Trebek?
Oh, I'm a winner. I win again. How can I ever go wrong? Anyway, turn it on. Tune in, baby.
That's right. Get Alex smart. Trebek from the Fleshtones at Little Stevens Underground Garage.
7 p.m., what to do? I know a show. education is cool. Turn it on, please turn it up. Alex Trebek is from the North Pole. Alex, Alex, who is Alex? Who is Alex? Alex Trebek is waiting for you.
That was the Fleshtones with their tribute song to Jeopardy host Alex Trebek here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. The track is part of their newest album, Face of the Screaming Werewolf, out on Yep Rock Records. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's guitarist, Keith String, for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. Be sure and join me next time when my guest will be Greg Cartwright, who is the lead singer and one of two guitar players in The Raining Sound. Critically acclaimed band began in Memphis, Tennessee, but has been based in Asheville, North Carolina for a long while now. On your next Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.